Food safety culture has been an industry concept for nearly two decades, yet there's still a great deal of confusion over exactly what constitutes a food safety culture and how to set your GPS to success. I'm your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'll be talking with two TAG Executive Vice Presidents, Ben Miller and Cameron Prince, on why food safety culture is so difficult to define, how to characterize it for your business, and how to set a route that enables you to achieve food safety culture maturity in your facilities. Welcome, Ben and Cam.
Good morning.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So, Ben, let's start with you. So why is food safety culture difficult to define? And can you provide our audience with your definition?
Sure. That's a great question. You know, I think oftentimes people say, well, I know it when I see it, but that feels a little slippery, right? That's fairly intangible. So how do you measure what you know that you see? You know, and I think that's really where a lot of the work had started back in 2018 with GFSI. You know, they brought together a group to think about what are the dimensions of food safety culture. And then from there, try to build a maturity model where you can start to sort of pinpoint or kind of map your GPS, if you will. You know, where do you sit relative to some of these dimensions? So they came up with dimensions that were vision and mission, people, consistency, adaptability, and then hazard and risk awareness. So what elements exist across those five different dimensions that speak to maturity? And depending on the maturity model that you look at or use, there's a number of them out there within the literature. You know, we can think about reactive. So I'm just reacting to things as they come up, and that might be regulations, that might be problems as they occur, crises, to the other end of the spectrum, which is continually improving. So how am I using data or experience to proactively sort of drive prevention measures around food safety issues? So am I using data to say, try to figure out with my environmental monitoring program where a hotspot might be and sort of do enhanced sampling in that particular area from a hazard and risk awareness standpoint to prevent a problem before it arises? So that's a general kind of structure in terms of ways that we think about trying to assess or pinpoint across these dimensions where a company or a plant or even a work area within a plant might be relative to food safety culture, or, you know, at a retail or restaurant level as well. So what we look at might vary a little bit depending on, you know, the specific food industry that we're thinking about, but those general concepts hold, I think, probably the most concise and best simple definition that I've heard of what is food safety culture is, it's what a leader is willing to walk by on a production floor or within, let's say, a restaurant or a retail setting, because that really sets the tone of the culture, right? Culture is essentially a shared set of beliefs and norms within a group of people, however we define that. So if the leader does something, that's going to quickly set what the rest of the people in that organization do or find acceptable. So, you know, I think those are kind of the ways that I think about food safety culture. And certainly at TAG, we've done quite a bit of work over the last 4 or 5 years in trying to come up with, I think, valid assessment tools that really draw from a lot of the current and past research and the literature.
Okay. So, Cam, let's take this a bit further. So why is it important then for the facility to have a strong food safety culture?
Yeah, and we've heard this question before, and you know, some people make a joke about it. They say, well, culture, that's for yogurt or something like that. It's when you talk about food safety culture, we are finding increasingly that it is the single most important factor in the delivery of a food safety program in a facility, in a restaurant chain, whatever it might be. And it's really at the core of food safety in the sense that if you have shared values across the whole organization with strong leadership commitment, as Ben referred to, then you have everybody pulling the same direction. And when you have the whole workforce aware of, taking steps to mitigate food safety risks, you're in a far better place. So why is it important? It's all about preventing food safety issues and keeping customers happy as well. It's not just about preventing contamination of pathogens or chemicals. It's also about what's the quality of the final product. Is the customer going to be happy? So it goes right to the plant floor. It starts at the leadership level. And it is essential that the leaders set an example and show commitment to it. And then to provide the tools to the middle management and to the workers, and so that they not only understand what they're doing and how it fits in the big picture of food safety, but they live it every day. So that when they walk through the plant, they do their jobs. If they see something on the floor that shouldn't be there, if they see a tool out of place, if they see a dirty machine, they report it. They're encouraged to report that. It's not I've got to hide things from management because it'll shut the line down. It's the opposite. People are rewarded for identifying issues and preventing food safety and quality issues. So that's really what a little bit about why it's so important and how companies need to think about it as they're moving forward.
Okay. So how do I know if I have a strong food safety culture? What kind of approaches can be used to ascertain my current level so that I can set that GPS for improvement?
I could jump in and offer some thoughts on that, Lisa. You know, I think when, you know, people think about ways to assess culture, there's a variety of ways to go about it. I think one way that people often think about is to send out a survey and say, you know, I'm going to survey, you know, a portion of my workforce or all of my workforce and get feedback on what that looks like. And that can be a good initial way to get some quantitative data, you know, around where people are finding that they feel like there are strengths and gaps within food safety culture, especially if that survey is designed to really measure across those different food safety culture dimensions. So that's one approach, you know, people can use. The other is to really, you know, sit down and have qualitative conversations, either interviews with staff or, you know, with focus groups to talk through some of the concepts that align with those food safety culture dimensions as well. You know, and then the third piece is really looking at how the performance of your food safety management system sort of match up to those conversations that you're having. You know, Cam talked about people proactively doing things. Well, a lot of that comes back to, one, are there incentives in the system for people to, you know, report issues as they come up? Are they empowered to do that? Do they have autonomy within their roles, you know, so that they're engaged within the work that they're doing? And for a lot of, you know, people, that comes back to understanding the why behind reasons that programs are set up the way that they are and that they feel like they have ownership over that. So for us, it tends to be kind of that multimodal approach. We're trying to look at a bunch of different data sources to help us triangulate where a company or facility might sit in terms of its food safety culture maturity overall. You know, and I think some of the advantages that we've seen in working with our clients is that occasionally workers will be more frank or open if they're talking to somebody that's they view like as a neutral third party. So, you know, oftentimes we'll have very interesting, good, fruitful conversations about what's working well and maybe where there are some challenges within a company or a facility that really start to hone in on areas of opportunity within either food safety management systems or within the overall culture itself. So that's the approach that we tend to take. But I'll let Cam offer some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think there's also an element there's food safety culture is very much an internal looking exercise, assessing it. However, I think also you have to take a broader view. And some of the companies that we work with are really interested in benchmarking where they are in relation to others. And that is an area that I think is kind of growing in food safety culture, certainly at the more mature end of the scale of food safety culture maturity. Those companies are reaching out across the industry If another company has a problem for where they have experience, they offer that help. And so that is another way to gauge where you are, is to really look at yourself in relation to industry standards, global standards, and other companies in your similar industry. So that's just an added dimension I wanted to add to what Ben had to say.
Right. Okay. So what might hold a company back from improving and going down the route despite their desire to do so?
I can tackle that one. There are a lot of things, and I'm sure Ben will want to add to this, but what holds a company back sometimes is leadership. And some leaders don't like to hear that, but it is a fact, and we see it often, that the leadership group is really more hired for, experienced in looking at production and financial goals and that kind of thing. And as long as there are no issues, food safety is not top of mind. And I think that they do that at their peril, because we're all in this food business, and we all know that it doesn't take very much in terms of brand reputation, a food safety incident. And there are lots of examples of that in the media right now, where a company can really have serious, if not existential, consequences from a food safety incident. So that is something where leadership really, and this is one of the pillars of the GFSI dimensions of food safety, is leadership commitment. So that's a real important one. The other one is, and we do see this a lot, is particularly in the last number of years in the pandemic era, where it was hard to get people. So a high turnover of staff, a shortage of staff, and that means that people have to be trained. There's a revolving door of training. There's a lot of cost with that. There's not the knowledge on the floor. So you can very much correlate the longevity or the length of time that people spend at a company and their commitment to the company. If you have a workforce that is happy where they are, that they're contributing to the company, they feel rewarded, they feel like they're on a team, that is a better environment for a mature food safety culture. And we see that fairly often. So there's a couple of areas where, in practical terms, we see issues. Sometimes also it's just a matter of money. Companies are strapped. They're in a very competitive business. Margins are thin. So things like training and even food safety programs sometimes suffer a little bit in that environment. But I'll turn it over to Ben if you have any other thoughts.
But, you know, before we turn over to Ben, I want to jump back in on what you just said, Kim. So, you know, you kind of discussed some of the things that could get the workers kind of more buying in by having that. But what if the leadership isn't buying in? Say the food safety team really feels that we need more culture, but my leadership team isn't really buying in. How do I get that?
Yeah, and that's a common problem. I think it then really you can have perhaps a CEO that is more, maybe not as, food safety is not as top of mind, and yet you can still have a strong food safety culture if the VP level, if the food safety group is high enough in the organization so that they have some actual weight in terms of decision making and where the company's going, then those become the leaders on the food safety culture side. So it can work. It's where we find food safety culture often suffers is at that mid-level manager, supervisor level. If they're not committed, then you're going to have a challenge around food safety culture.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead and jump over to you, Ben, on both, you know, what might hold a company back and how to kind of convince top up and bottom down if needed.
Right. Yeah, then, you know, I was going to mention, you know, I think leadership is probably the most important element there, you know, and I think when you have maybe lack of commitment at the leader level. For me, it comes down to kind of creating a shared language. One, you know, I think you need, for those that are responsible for food safety, need to bring that message to the leadership, to CEO, to COO, to whomever, in terms of, you know, really kind of a financial investment, helping them understand sort of what the risks are of non-compliance. And if you're involved with a recall or an outbreak, you know, that can have significant financial consequences, because, you know, in a production focused environment, that tends to be the thing that gets people's attention. I think the other side of that coin, though, is making sure that those leaders understand and have some basic knowledge of just food safety concepts overall. You know, sometimes when you sit down and, you know, in a less mature environment with leaders, they don't really even understand, you know, what the food safety systems are in their organization. What is HACCP? What are my critical control points? What are my preventive controls? Sort of what are the risks that exist within my production environment? And I think, you know, without having a common language that both sides can speak and understand, you know, you're not going to get very far in terms of creating food safety culture, which really ultimately comes down to prevention, right? Like, that's the challenge. It's hard to put a dollar sign on prevention or something that didn't happen. But the food industry is sort of, especially recently, serving up a lot of examples of what, you know, things look like when they go wrong in terms of outbreaks or in terms of recalls. And, you know, those have significant financial impacts on companies, and that's pretty well documented in the literature. I mean, there's some good studies out there, and, you know, if people watching this webinar want to reach out and, you know, talk about what some of those resources are that we use, we're happy to follow up with them. You know, and then I think to Cam's point too, it gets down to on the floor level too, what drives engagement. So we know that engagement comes down, you know, again, if you kind of look at the literature, not even necessarily food safety culture literature, but engagement's really driven, at least in my mind, by three things. It's autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So sometimes that can be hard to do, you know, for somebody that's performing a routine task. So then it comes up, you know, what are some strategies that I can do to really drive those three variables for the person that has to, you know, come to work every day and is in charge of sanitation? And you can look at things like task rotation and, you know, mentorship programs, and it does require that sort of thoughtful investment in terms of how do we keep that workforce engaged? Because at the end of the day, like, that's where food safety happens, right? It happens on the floor. You know, and I think we were working with a client recently where one of their customers described this food manufacturer as a company that does cleaning and makes food in between, because they put such an emphasis on sanitation, knowing how important it is to start with a clean process before they're going to manufacture the food that they make. So, you know, I think that's, it requires that sort of different way of thinking about how am I preventing problems before they happen. And that really kind of goes from, it starts at the top, but, you know, it gets executed on the floor.
Okay. So once you do have that buy-in and, you know, we're working toward it, this is what we want to do. We want to make sure we have a nice, strong food safety culture because we understand the importance. Are there certain steps that you take on the route to maturity? You know, what, how do you get there?
If I could start off on this one, I think you really have to step back and look at where you are, and an assessment by a third party often helps that. This is something that we do. We help with survey administration, and we have some very well designed surveys that are designed not to allow bias, etc., to the extent that we can, and then an on-site assessment. And with that, you can kind of place yourself on that continuum of food safety maturity. Now, that's just a starting point, but it does help. And it goes to the previous question about how do you convince the senior leaders that we need to invest in this? Well, if the assessment comes back and it's, you're on a 2 on a scale of 5, that is a perilous position to be in terms of food safety and as a company operating in the marketplace. So sometimes that can be that push or that kick to get things moving. But beyond that, then it becomes it has to be incorporated into the daily meeting structures throughout the organization, the monthly board meetings, all of these meetings at various levels. It has to be on the agenda and it has to be top of mind. And then there are programs that can be instituted. We see a lot where companies do a fantastic job on occupational safety and health, because that has been an issue that has come to fore in many food plants, reducing injuries, etc. And some technology or some approaches in that sphere are really adaptable to food safety culture. So, you know, having graphics on the lunchroom wall that show number of accidents, so looking at listeria results in the swabbing program, have that posted, having daily huddles. There are a number of where you talk about food safety within a group that are doing a particular operation. It may be packing and labeling. So you get that group together and you emphasize the importance of proper labels, good packaging, etc. So if you replicate that throughout the organization and it's just a constant reminder, that really, really helps. And I think the other thing too is that people need to understand how they are contributing to food safety in their organization. Mm-hmm. As Ben said, sanitation, obviously that's really, really important. Somebody that monitors a critical control point in a plant, like a cook step, they need to understand why is that so important? What is the organism, the pathogen that they're dealing with? How is that going to help make the food safer? And I think in a lot of cases, they don't know that. They're never trained. They just know they got to check the temperature on this machine every 5 minutes. And that doesn't lead to the same kind of buy-in that we'd like to see for food safety culture. So those are some things that are top of mind in terms of how you can improve your food safety culture. But there are many, many approaches, and they're often very company specific.
Yeah, and I would just to add to that, I think, you know, it's hard to change what you don't measure, right? So you have to have a sense of where you are, where you're starting from and where you want to head. One analogy that I use is, you know, it's like a food safety culture assessment sometimes feels like a snapshot in time. And it is, you know, when you're doing a survey or going into a facility and having those conversations, but it's really a reflection of the conditions that have been there all along, right? You know, when all of us go to do our annual physical and get our blood pressure and cholesterol measures, like those numbers are a function of the way that we've lived over the last year or number of years, right? And so if we want to change those, you know, we know that that requires a change in habits. And really culture is, you know, defined by habits, right? Like in terms of the group of people and sort of what are those habits that they all engage in when they come to work every day, you know, and how are those behaviors perceived positively or negatively within that group of people? So it starts with assessment and then moves into a lot of the things that Cam's talking about, you know, but you need to start to establish some of those habits that we know can move the needle in terms of, you know, engagement, like we talked about before, but also prioritization of where people spend their time and what information they get. So those are a lot of the key ingredients that go into kind of creating that roadmap, if you will, for improvement. So that's something we work with clients on as well in terms of, okay, well, here's where you are. What are some actionable next steps that you need to think about in terms of, you know, starting to move up the maturity scale if that's what you want to do in some of these areas?
Okay. So we've used our GPS to route us through this roadmap and gotten the assessment of our current food safety, and we've developed a mature food culture. Are we good? We're done?
No, you're not done.
Oh, bummer.
That is where the common expression is that food safety culture is a journey, not a destination. Okay. Continuous improvement is what it's all about. And we have yet to see a company that's got a perfect food safety culture. Doesn't exist. There are many very, very good companies that are very mature in this regard. but there are lots who are very low on the scale, and all of them are striving to improve. All of them need to strive to improve. So yeah, that's a simple answer to your question. It really is about continuing to work on it and continuing to improve. And ultimately, it makes the whole food safety program in the marketplace for our consumers. It makes it all better and protects consumers and brand reputation much better.
Yeah. You know, I was in a plant a couple of weeks ago, and plant with a really strong food safety culture. And one thing that stood out was you walk down a hallway to the production floor, and a lot of the employees had pictures of their family or their kids on the wall, you know, with their title. And, you know, it helped them, I think, both in terms of how they thought about employee safety, but also how they thought about just the product that they're making every day. You know, their kids are going to eat it. This is something that goes to their families. You know, that helps define that culture. But, you know, as those people retire, move on, bring new people in, you know, it's how do you continue a culture of continuous improvement, you know, in an environment like that, you know, as new employees put pictures of their family on the wall and think about what that journey looks like. You know, culture is defined by people at the end of the day.
So seems like we've really taken quite the trip down here. It's a good thing that we can set our GPS to route us toward successful food safety culture. I want to thank both of you for your insights on food safety culture, but want to ask as well if you'd have any final words or takeaways that you want to be sure our audience knows about and remembers after this. Cam, what would you have?
Well, I really hope that people who take the time to view this video really go back to your job and the people you work with, and really talk about it and really think about food safety culture and really brainstorm amongst your peers about what is good about your food safety culture in your facility, and where are some opportunities, and how can we improve ourselves? And this is a very step-by-step incremental thing. This doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It takes time, and just don't get discouraged. It if you continue to work at it, it will really improve, and the dividends are significant. So good luck on that journey.
All right. Thank you, Cam. So I'd like to once again thank Ben Miller and Cameron Prince for sharing their expertise and some of the best practices in food safety culture. And thank you for our listeners for listening in. So to stay informed on all things food safety and ensure that you don't miss any episodes of TAG Talks Food Safety, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform. Thank you so much.